Father, we are grateful. We are thankful. Thank you for this opportunity that we have once again to receive the knowledge of your word, to be given the opportunity to increase from one level of glory to another. Thank you that you grant us knowledge concerning your Son, Jesus Christ, tonight. Thank you that as we behold our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Thank you for higher levels of glory and higher levels of grace and higher levels of your power in our lives tonight. Take us, Lord, from the level we find ourselves on into higher levels tonight. We receive your word with meekness, with gladness, with great joy and great excitement. Thank you, Father. We are ready for you, Lord. Even in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I want you to give the Lord a shout if you have a voice. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't say you should give me a shout. I said give Jesus a big shout. Glory! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many of you have had Jesus doing something for you? Has Jesus done anything for you in your life? I believe he deserves a better shout from you. Hallelujah. Wow. To the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I know that tonight God is going to do more than you ever thought in your life in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yes. He says that the Lord sent a word to Jacob and it has lightened upon Israel, isn't it? The Lord is sending a word upon you. He's sending a word into your life that is going to carry you from one level of glory to another. Through knowledge shall my just ones be delivered, isn't it? The knowledge of God's word is coming to you and you're going to be taken from one level of grace to another. Whenever the word of God is coming, you know that grace is coming. So tonight, the Lord is going to take us to another level of grace. Another level of the power of God. You know, and that's what you need for more to happen in your life. Yes, more grace, more faith, more glory, more joy. Maybe your joy has vanished, but tonight the Lord is bringing you more joy. Through his word, he's bringing you more joy in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And I know, I just have a feeling in my spirit and a feeling in my heart. I just have this perception. Paul said, I perceive that this journey will be with much tribulation and much sufferings. I also perceive that tonight is going to be a night that God is going to is going to move you. It's like God has planned this meeting for a very long time just for you. And it is not by accident, it's not coincidental that you find yourself here tonight. It's the Lord's own arrangement. David was on his way to see his brothers with food, just to give them a meal. He had no idea that that was the day that God was going to elevate him and make him something before all of Israel. He didn't know. It was a normal day. Saul was on his way looking for his father's missing donkeys. He didn't know that that was the opportunity that God had created. It looked like a normal day, but that was the opportunity that God had created for him to be anointed captain over Israel. So tonight, it may look like an ordinary night. It may look like, oh, it's normal, but I tell you, in the realms of the spirit, the Lord has given a divine appointment for you. I thought I could have two people who believed what I'm saying. And tonight God has prepared his manservant. You know, the Bible says that God, when Jesus ascended, he gave gifts to men. You see, there are gifts that God gives to his body. You see, and this man of God is a gift to the body of Christ. He's a gift. You know, Laban said concerning Jacob that I have learned by experience that the Lord has prospered me for thy sake. For thy sake. Potiphar said the same thing concerning Joseph, isn't it? Is it true?
Yeah.
This man, the presence of this man is in my life has prospered me over the years. Hey, I tell you. Yeah. And I know that, you see, tonight God is going, you are going to make contact with the anointing in a certain way. These are gifts. I mean, when God wants to bless you, he gives you a man. Can you imagine? Yes. The blessings of God is a man. He gives you a man. He says, I'll give you pastors after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and wisdom. So tonight you are going to be fed with knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and it will mark the beginning of a new phase in your life. I can sense a new beginning in your life. Hallelujah. So tonight, if you are ready, ask your neighbor, are you ready? Ask the other neighbor, are you ready? To encounter the grace of God? Yeah. Are you ready? To encounter the anointing? Are you ready to be turned into another man? Are you ready to be turned into another woman? Then with shout and with joy, I want us to welcome the ministry of my father, the only doctor I know, Dr. George Wilfred Arthur.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To God be all the glory. Lift up your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Therefore, Abba Father, thank you. Thank you for this wonderful ministry. Thank you for your manservant, Bishop Otibuaten, the founding vessel. Thank you for the good things you are doing in this ministry. Thank you for putting this meeting together. And blessed Holy Spirit, you have loved us. And you are all around us. Therefore, we open up to you. Your leadership, your guidance, your inspiration that you would teach us, you would bless us. We are open to you. Thank you, Abba Father, for the dispensing and the supply of the spirit of wisdom and revelation and for the door of utterance. To you be all the glory. Jesus is highly exalted and glorified amongst us. Thank you. Thank you. How amiable are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Thank you for your palaces, your ivory palaces, the local churches, your glory. And your glory is being manifested tonight. It's being manifested tonight. And the Son of God is exalted. And he has his place amongst us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, the Son of the living God. Amen. Yeah. Can you please be seated? Hallelujah. We are glad to come here. And last year when we left here, we were anticipating, when are we coming back? Wow. And it's so amazing, a year has come so soon. And we are so glad to see all your faces. And we know that the Lord is with us. He has wonderful things for us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we bless God we thank God for the life of the set man of God, the founding vessel, Bishop Otibuaten. Yeah. We thank God for his life and for the obedience of faith. And the marvelous grace of God upon his life, the obedience of faith, and his yieldedness to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You have such a handsome overseer. Who is deeply in love with Jesus. Who is gentle. Who is kind. Who is patient. Who is long-suffering. And open-hearted and embraces everyone. Wouldn't you want to have such a pastor? Yeah, and that's the pastor God has given you. Hallelujah. Give God a praise for your bishop. So I want to say, Bishop, thank you for bringing us every year. And this time, I came with the whole team. You know, my wife is here. Came with my wife. Because whenever we go, I say, oh, Ho is wonderful. The people are nice. So I've waited for her appetite for long. So finally, she left all the children to be here. Praise God. So, yeah. Hallelujah. She has not gone to many of the branches, but she says she has to be here. Wow. Hallelujah. Yeah. And I also came with Pastor Michael. Pastor Michael is here. Yeah. I'm tempted to say some things, but I'll hold on. Then we have Prophet Juma here. Then we have Pastor James. Pastor James here. We came from Accra together. And then, you know your pastors. Do you know your pastors? Yeah, come on, celebrate your pastors. Anyway, we came from Accra with Pastor McCaffrey. So let me also introduce him because... Yeah. Reverend McCaffrey. So when you say pastor for a long time, you even forget the reverend, but he's reverend. And we thank God for the pastors he's giving you. Love economy pastors are wonderful. You can't even see in your, look at your pastor's face. And look at Pastor Wisdom's face. Very good. Hallelujah. Yeah. Love economy is a very wonderful family. Yeah, if you're not part of love economy, you have to be part. Because you see the real family life. And as the name is, so is the ministry. It has the ambience of love, the atmosphere of love and everything. Praise God. Yeah. I'll be joyful to have your pastor as my pastor and your pastors as my pastors. Because they are wonderful people. Praise God. Hallelujah. I hope you are here. So we have come with the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Your life will never be the same.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
My message is entitled, I title it, Pure Faith.
Wow.
Pure Faith. Pure Faith. Pure Faith. Faith is very important. Now, even how far God will use you has a lot to do with your faith. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
A lot to do with your faith. Yeah, so if you are in a ministry that teaches faith, such a blessing, you're blessed. I heard Bishop Oyedepo say something wonderful that amazed me. In fact, I think I heard it 2 years ago. And that's what he said. He said if he had not committed himself to the word of faith, maybe God couldn't have used him the way he's using him. And a few weeks ago, during their 40th marriage anniversary, his wife, is it last week or last 2 weeks or something? His wife made a similar statement that she couldn't have worked with God and even been used by God the way God is doing, had it not been her husband and a word of faith, the faith that God has used her husband to establish her. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Many of God's people are limited because they don't understand how faith works. So they operate like the world. So how far you can go in life and how far you can become usable in the hands of God, you have to understand the dynamics of faith. Now, and I also heard Pastor Chris say a similar statement, make a similar statement. For instance, many believers live their life based on the money they have in their pocket. Yeah. If they have 1,000 Ghana cedi, all that they do is based on 1,000 Ghana cedi. If they have 2,000 Ghana, all that they do is based on 2,000 Ghana. That is operating like the world. That's operating like the world. Now, how far God wants to use you doesn't depend on the money you have in your pocket. The money you have, having money in your accounts or in your pocket and holding on to it is the mentality of the poor. To the believer, money doesn't really exist. Now, if God would like to use you, if you want God to use you, you know how God will use you. Everything God tells you to do, actually, you wouldn't even, the man is not even there to do it. Yeah. Because the realm we live in, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Money is in the world. So overcoming the world includes overcoming money in the world. When Jesus is operating, he is not limited by money. But that doesn't mean he has money in his pocket. You see, Jesus, one day when he had to pay for the tax, the tribute, he just told Peter to go to the lake and cast an hook. The first fish that will come out, take the money from the mouth. It's amazing. So it implied that there was no money there present, but that doesn't mean they lacked money to do what God wanted them to do. For instance, God wants you to start an orphanage. Or God would like you to maybe build a house, a church for Love Economy, or a house for your pastor. I thought you'd be saying amen. Or God will want you to do something or enter into a business or something. The first thing you look at is the amount of money you have in your pocket or your bank account. That is worldliness. That's not how we live. So people smile because there's money in their account, and they frown because there's no money. That's not how we live. Yeah. No. We operate by heaven's currency. It is called faith. So it doesn't matter whether the money is there or not. Once God says it, you believe it and you start speaking it. And as you speak it, wherever the money is, it comes to fulfill what God wants you to do. So it's not like, is it to work in wealth doesn't mean you operate by the economy of Ghana. You have a lot of money in Ecobank. No, you're operating by God's eternal bank. You see, money is, there's so much money in your bank of heaven, in your eternal bank. You open your mouth, you speak it out, and the money is released at the right time for the project you have to do. Not until you walk in this realm, a lot of things will be limited. You don't attempt great things based on the money you have in your account. If you live like that way, you cannot do anything. You live by faith. God says, do it. And when God says, do it, God is not looking at the money in your account for you to do it. You want to work with God. God will say, do it. And you go, how do I do it? God doesn't want you to ask, how do I do it? Because God has taught you how to do it. You know what? It takes your mouth and your heart. To bring, no, I want you to live in a certain realm of life. Yeah. If I want to buy a car to someone, I don't look at my account. I don't look into my pocket. I check my mouth. I start releasing it from my lips and start speaking it. And every time money have come from somewhere in the world to get it, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, do you know why many believers are not walking in faith? One reason why many believers are not walking in faith is because many a times they are told to have faith. You see this phone? Look, your phone is nice. Wow. Now, is the phone yours? It's yours, right? Now, if I tell you to have a phone, you'll be wondering. If you can come to a place where you're even thinking, do I really have a phone? Or is this not a phone? You'd be wondering whether this is not a phone. Because you have a phone, and I'm telling you to have a phone. You get into a kind of doubt. Is that not so? Yeah. So one reason why, thank you very much, many believers are not walking in faith is because they are told to have faith. Now let me show you what you can do, the ability God has already given you. Luke chapter 17, the book of Luke chapter 17. Let me start from verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Verse 6. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Praise God. All right. Quickly, Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. And nothing shall be impossible to you. Mark 4, verse 31. Now let me start from verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? 31. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. Praise God. Okay, so the smallest seed. The smallest seed is the mustard seed. Have you seen one before? It's very tiny. Jesus said it's less than all the seeds that are in the earth. Yeah. The creator of the universe is the least. It's less than. I don't care what anyone says. The creator of the universe is less. It's very small. Okay. Now. You see. So, it's the smallest seed. There's no seed less than the mustard seed. It's the smallest. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It's the smallest. Now, Jesus says that if you have faith as small, I read the way you stood up. May God cause men to stand up for you. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the sycamine tree, which has a strong root system, be removed and be cast into the sea, and it will obey you. And in Matthew 17, you can say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and it will obey you. That means mustard seed faith has the ability to remove mountains into the sea and to remove trees into the sea. That is what the smallest faith can do. The smallest faith that ever exists can remove mountains and can remove trees. And remember that if you are a believer, every believer has faith. How can you be a believer without not having believed? That's why you are called a believer. But actually, you have come to the realm of faith. Because God has already dealt to every one of us the measure of faith. According to Romans 12, verse 3. So all of us, if you are in Christ, you have faith. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And the smallest faith you can ever have, is the mustard seed faith. You can't go below because that's the tiniest and the smallest faith you can ever have. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
The smallest faith anyone here can ever have in Christ, you cannot go below again, is mustard seed faith. And with that faith, you can remove mountains. And with that faith, you can remove trees. So what are you talking about? Are you understanding me?
Yeah.
That means that everyone here has the potential to walk in the supernatural and in the miraculous. You know why? The problem is you only have to have knowledge of what you have, and you only have to know how to use what you have. That's what you need. You need the knowledge of what you have and the knowledge of how to use it. Because you think you don't have it. And this is coming from Jesus. And Jesus says that the smallest evidence of faith, the smallest. Or don't you believe in Jesus? Now Jesus is saying the smallest faith ever can remove mountains. Mountains in the Bible is also a biblical or rabbinical way of talking about problems. Mountains stands for problems. You can remove all your problems away. Yeah. Yeah. And all of us, none, the weakest believer here, the least faith you have is the mustard seed faith, because that's the smallest. And you can remove mountains. And you can remove mountains. But God has dealt to us the measure of faith. All of us, the same measure, the measure of faith. But even if you have become weak and you think that, oh, my faith is gone, the smallest it can go, it cannot go below, is the mustard seed level. And that one, you can remove mountains. All the problems that confront you and that you are facing with, you can cause it to be rolled away. As you are sitting down here, you are a miracle sitting down. There is nothing you cannot do. The God of all possibility is with you and in you. All you need to know is what we are teaching you. The knowledge of what you have and how to use what you have. That is what he has given us. So after this meeting, Mara, Tebara, Sunde, Kabara, Jibara, Batamana, I see heaven opened over you. You speak the word and it is manifesting. You prophesy, it is coming to pass. You speak the word and the mountains are coming down and the valleys are exalted. You speak the word and the troubles and the problems are rolled away, because God is not a man that he should lie. God is not the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he spoken? Shall it not come to pass? You have the ability. You have the power. Hallelujah. Can you please be seated? Thank you very much. Now, do you know that's why the Bible says that the communication of your faith to become effectual by the full knowledge of every good thing that is in you. Do you know the measure of faith, the quality of faith that is in you? Now, let me say something that will blow your mind. Do you know that you have the same measure of faith, the same quality and quantity of faith that Jesus had on earth? Karabasha Kamandele. Yeah, you have it. You have the measure of faith that Jesus had on earth in quality and in quantity. Do you want to know where it's come from? Okay, Galatians 2. We read 16, then we read 20. Galatians 2, 16 and 20. Then we go to, all right. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we who have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we see in the verses, the faith of Jesus Christ, the faith of Christ, the faith of the Son of God. Now, Romans 3. Let's start from 21. The faith of the Son of God. He didn't say faith in the Son of God. The Greek says faith, the faith of the Son of God. That's what we read. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So these verses speaks of, Paul says that, you know, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, not faith in the Son of God, the faith of the Son of God. It is not your faith in him, it is his faith in you. Now, what is the faith of the Son of God? Say the faith of the Son of God. He says, I live, not faith in the Son of God. No, the faith of the Son of God, his own faith. The faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God. And the Bible says when we're justified, we're justified by the faith of Christ. Not faith in Christ, by the faith of Christ. We're justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah. And the Bible says that even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, not by your faith, the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe. The moment you yield your faith to believe in Jesus, Jesus' own faith is given to you. Do you know the faith of the Son of God? The faith of the Son of God. When Jesus was on earth, the same faith by which he trusted in God, the Father, the same faith by which he was intimate and close to the Father, the same faith by which he prayed, the same faith by which he believed the Father and his works and his words, the same faith by which he healed the sick, the same faith by which he worked miracles, the same faith by which he lived, the Bible calls it the faith of the Son of God. That quality of faith is imparted to the believer. So he says, I live not by my own faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by his faith, because his faith is imparted to me. But the reason why we don't see it is because of the two things I mentioned. The knowledge of what we have and how to use it. Because faith is workable by knowledge. The knowledge of what we have. If you have no idea, you wouldn't have the full manifestation of it and the knowledge of how to use it. Because his faith is given to us. And Paul says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not your faith in him, it's his faith. That means you have the ability to relive Christ on earth. I'm telling you. You have the ability to relive Christ on earth. The faith of the Son of God. And it's going to manifest in our days. It's going to manifest in our days. It's going to manifest. You will see men walking as spirit squad missiles. Walking. A lot of things are going to happen. Hallelujah. This dawn, the Lord spoke to me word for word. Exactly. The Lord said, the revival is coming. I heard it from the Spirit of God. The revival is coming. Something, heaven has cooked something that is about to manifest on the earth. It's about to manifest on the earth. Say, have the faith of Jesus.
Have the faith of Jesus.
Oh my. Oh my. When Jesus descended from the Mount of Transfiguration in Mark chapter 9, the man whose son was epileptic and who was falling into fire and water came to Jesus. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The man said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Now the English, if you check in different versions, you may seem to have quite different meanings. But the Greek says, if thou canst believe, the Greek says, what do you mean I can? All things are possible to him that believes. Now, in the Greek, the him is referring to himself. All things are possible to the one who believes. He's referring to, in the Greek, he's the one who believes. So what do you mean I can? He's asking the Lord that if he can do something, he should just help his child. And he said, what do you mean I can? All things are possible to the believing one, referring to himself. He's the believing one, so all things are possible. Yeah. Brethren, that faith is given to us. All right. Now let's go to 2 Peter 1 verse 1. 2 Peter 1 verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now look at it careful. This is how he opened the book. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle, a slave, a born slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them,
yes,
which that have obtained like precious faith with us, say with us.
Yes.
Now the word with us speaks of the apostles. Them speaks of the believers, but us, he's talking about apostles. But what is the like precious faith? He calls our faith like precious faith, like precious faith. Now is the Greek word isotimos. Now, isotimos is two words put together, isos and timos. ISOS, ISOS. Timos, T-I-M-O-S. ISOS, ISOS. Isostimos, Isostimos, Isostimos. Now, ISOS, ISOS in Greek, when you bring it into English, it is where we get the word isosceles triangle. Isosceles. Yeah. That is two equal parts. You remember isosceles, two equal parts? Uh-huh. So, in John 5, 18, 19, they took stones to stone Jesus, saying he has blasphemed. Why? Because he, being a man, has made himself equal with God. You understand that they said Jesus, he has said he's the Son of God. Uh-huh. Because he has made himself equal. The word equal is isos. Equal. And that's what we get. Remember, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The word equal is isos. And the word timos. Timos is the word for value. Something that is valuable, something that is precious, expensive, honorable. Marriage is honorable in all. The word is timios. So isotimos actually means equal in value. Equal in value, in quality and in quantity. Something that is equal in value, in both quality and quantity. Praise God. All right. What is Peter saying? Back to 2 Peter 1 verse 1. Complicating something precious. He's saying that, and what Peter is saying is that, please, what's your name?
Favor.
Favor. Oh, I like your name. Favor. Peter is saying that the same faith the apostles had in quality, in quantity, in the same value, is the same faith you have. He's saying that Apostle Paul was not given more faith than you. You and the apostles were given the same faith. The same faith that you, if you can see me, the same, if and you are in Christ, the same faith that was given you in Christ is the same faith that was given the apostles. It's the same faith that was given Peter. The same, that's what he's saying. You see, to them, he's talking about the believers who have obtained isotimos, equal in value, in quality, and in quantity. That faith, they've obtained the same measure of faith like us. We are not inferior to the apostles, understand it. We are never inferior to the apostles. God is no respecter of persons. When we got born again, the same measure of faith was given to us. It's the faith of the Son of God, and is the faith that the apostles had. It's the faith the apostles had. And Peter went to the gate called Beautiful and saw a man crippled sit at the gate called Beautiful. Peter raised him up. The same faith. The same faith. The same faith. Peter raised the dead. Peter raised the dead. Did miracles. Walk with God. The same faith. Hallelujah. So don't think Paul was given more faith than you. You keep thinking that, oh, they had something we don't have. It's a lie. It's the same Holy Ghost. It's the same Jesus. It's the same faith. It's the same righteousness. It's the same thing. Now, when Jesus speaks of small faith, you know, Jesus speaks of small faith, little faith, great faith, strong faith. Now, understand this. Little faith and great faith, when Jesus mentioned it, it was not in reference to the faith that is given to us. It was in reference to how we use that faith, the usage and operation of that faith. It was never in reference to the faith that was given, but how we use that faith. It's like they've put the same amount of money in a bank account. We have all been given the same amount in a, of money in a bank account. But you decide to use 5 cities. You decide to use 10,000. You decide to. It has nothing to do with what is given. It has to do with what is being used. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Marokatale. Do I have believers in the house? You are shocked, right? I read a book by Rick Joyner, and he had vision into what God is about to do. And in the vision, he said there was a 16-year-old girl. Rick Joyner said that he saw Elijah. And in the vision, it was very prophetic. When the 16-year-old girl saw Elijah, he was feeling some way. As like, of course, he had seen a great man of God of old. And Elijah said, "Left, don't do that. You know, your ministry is going to eclipse mine. 16-year-old girl, your ministry is going to eclipse mine. What your generation is going to do will eclipse what we did. Because a generation will come, they'll be awakened to these realities that we are talking about." Yeah, they'll be awakened to these realities. You'll be shocked when you stand with Paul and apostles. What they had is what is given to us. And Peter said, the same is the same value. The same value, like value, equal value in quality and in quantity. That's it. But I said, what we need is the knowledge of it. And that's what you are receiving. The more you hear, I'm telling you, one day you meet a cripple, you are not even mindful of whether you have power or not. It's not even your business. Say, look up and go. It's amazing. You just have to keep hearing. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But one reason why, another reason why the apostles manifested it is because of, look at the verse where, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them which have obtained. Are you part of the them? We have obtained Marokata, the same value of faith, equal faith with us, with the apostles. Look at it. Through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Very important. Now, the Greek says, in the righteousness of God. It's N, in the righteousness of God. The word righteousness there is a noun. In the righteousness of God. And our Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
One reason why the apostles manifested faith is because they knew the righteousness of God. They understood the righteousness of God. Because this faith is in the righteousness of God. So you need to understand the righteousness of God. It's in the righteousness of God. What does it mean? Now, Romans 1:16 and 17 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe, to the Jew first, then to the Gentiles, or to the Greek. Verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now, he's speaking about the righteousness of God. He says, the gospel, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believed. For in it, for therein, the Passion Version says, for it unveils the righteousness of God from faith to faith. Now, Peter said that this like precious faith is in the righteousness of God. Now, Paul never separated faith from righteousness, because faith is operative on the grounds of righteousness. But this righteousness I'm talking about is the gift of righteousness. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you become the righteousness of God. But this is what happens. What does it mean from faith to faith? For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Do you have the Passion translation here? The Passion. Oh, that's powerful. Look at what it says. The gospel unveils a continual revelation of God's righteousness. A perfect righteousness given to us when we believe. How many of you have done righteousness? Look at what it says. A perfect righteousness given to us when we believe. Now we have believed in Jesus, so we have it. And it moves us from receiving life through faith to the power of living by faith. Favor. The Bible says, from faith, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You know why it says from faith? Because there are two kinds of righteousness. There are two ways of receiving righteousness. One is by faith, the other one is by works of the law. The works of the law means you have to keep the Ten Commandments 100% in deeds, in words, and in thought. Yeah. So one negative thought means you have broken all the commandments. Yeah. So do you want that kind of righteousness? No one can attain to it. The other one is receiving it by faith. And that's what King James says, from faith. The word from faith means out of faith. So to receive this righteousness, when you believe in Jesus Christ, through believing, the faith is granted you to receive it. So every Christian is the righteousness of God because we have received it. Praise God. But when you receive this righteousness by faith, it ushers you to faith. You receive it by faith because that's the only way you can have it. But when you receive it by faith, now it brings you to the realm of faith. That means that the realm of the righteousness of God is the realm of faith. The realm of faith, you are in faith. Now faith becomes as natural to you as the fishes swim in the sea. It becomes your natural habitat. Free as the birds fly, it becomes your default mode. So the more you are conscious of God's righteousness, the more you are conscious that you are the righteousness of God, the more faith comes alive. And the more faith comes alive, the more you manifest what the apostles did. Because you have the same, you have faith of like value. Because they knew what it meant to be the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Now, Isaiah 32, verse 17. Isaiah 32, verse 17. The work of righteousness is peace. Okay. Oh, this is TPT. All right. Keep it. The King James says, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever. But the Passion Version says, the work of righteousness is peace. The result of righteousness is quietness and assurance and confidence forever. Now, the word quietness and confidence is the same word that is used in Hebrews 1 verse 1, especially if you read in the Living Bible, the TLB, the Living Bible. It's the same quietness and assurance is the description of Hebrews 11 verse 1. I like the way you have every version with you. When you go to places, they don't have all these versions. What is faith? It is the confident assurance. You see, the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we can. So you see the word confident and assurance. Let me see what the Passion says. The Passion is different because the Greek has a lot of words. So when the Bible says the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance, you can say it this way. The effect of righteousness shall be faith. The work of righteousness is peace. The effect of righteousness is faith. What it means is that now, favor received became the righteousness of God by faith. But now he's in the realm of faith. Now, the way you can walk in the realm of faith 24/7 is to be conscious that you are God's righteousness. The more you know you are the righteousness of God, the more your faith is natural to you. Because sometimes, the more you are thinking you have faith, do I have faith? You are in a situation. You have faith. You are working it. You want to shake yourself whether there is faith. You have faith. That is how you can live the realm of faith. But faith is based on the knowledge of who you are in Christ. I am the righteousness of God. He spoke of the like precious faith in the righteousness. And the word is a noun. In the righteousness of God. And our Savior Jesus Christ. And this righteousness moves us from faith and brings us to the place of faith. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You have to be in it. Now, faith becomes rest. In the book of Acts, no believer was told to have faith. The way we tell people to have faith. The whole book of Acts. Because they knew who they were. The righteousness of God.
Hallelujah.
Because when I say have faith, you are thinking, hey, maybe there's something that maybe I don't have it to. Maybe faith is for Bishop Poti and Pastor Chris and those people. It's for all of us. Faber, what do you think? It's powerful. Thank you. Thank you. My. So, the moment you know I am the righteousness of God, if you understand it and are conscious of it, you are in faith. Because you understand the legal right and the legal power behind it. Now, do you remember 1 Samuel 18? The moment David was taking care of the sheep, and his father sent him to go to the battlefield because Goliath had showed up. You know the story. David conquered Goliath. David understood what the covenant was. He conquered Goliath. The moment he defeated Goliath and the Philistines and he went back, the son of Saul, Jonathan, the Bible says instantly he made a covenant with him. In 1 Samuel 18. He made a covenant with him. Pastor Michael, come, let's make a covenant. This time I want to use the covenant between David and Jonathan. There are so many covenants in the Bible, David and Jonathan. So, you know what? Please face me. So, they entered into a covenant. So, one of the ways to enter the covenant is that sometimes they cut their wrist. And they put the blood together. And sometimes they let the blood get into a goblet. Your blood will get into the cup, yours into the cup. They mix it with water and they drink. That means we are now blood brothers. Okay, look at verse 4. Look at what happened. Okay, now. And then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. The next verse. You know why I'm doing this? Because you can't understand righteousness without covenant. The Bible says in Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. In Genesis 15, verse 6. Then verse 7, God said Abraham, so where shall I know all of this? The next verse, God cut a covenant with him. You see, so it's a covenant of righteousness. God wanted him to know what he has. In he receiving the gift of righteousness, but he established it on the grounds of covenant. Because the word righteousness, dikaiosune, is the word covenant justice in the Greek. Yeah. The word grace is hased, covenant kindness. All right. Now look at. So I want you to understand it and you begin to work in exploit. Hallelujah. Try to understand it. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe. Now, Jonathan was a prince. He was to become a king if his father dies. Jonathan. So he was wearing a robe. So see me as Jonathan and see this guy as David. He is in a shepherd. The garb of a shepherd. And I'm royal. You understand? So, can I give it to you? So he took his robe and gave it to David. And David took his, it's an exchange. It's amazing. Then after that, David, then the robe, then the garment. Then they exchange sword and the bow and girdle. So they exchange all of this. The whole thing is an exchange. So Jonathan took his robe and gave it to David. Robe stands for identity and authority. I give you my identity and authority. That's amazing. Covenant. Now, do you know covenant relationship? It's not a joke. You can't break it. You can't break it. That is the highest level of relationship. Now, covenant relationship. When God enters into a covenant, there is no more he can do to commit himself. It is God's final, irrevocable commitment to anything he wants to do. That is why when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Because the oath and swearing is part of the covenant. And here, men verily swear by the greater. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing the more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. You know why? A promise is not enough. A covenant is stronger. Because a covenant goes by the oath. Do you know why God had to swear in a covenant? People swear by the greater. People say, I swear by the moon. I swear by the stars. But God couldn't swear by anything greater than himself, because there is nothing greater than him. So God had to swear by himself. So God swore by his Godhead. In a covenant, he had to swear to Abraham. He's saying that if I don't do this thing, I will stop being God and I will cease to exist as God. That's what it means. If I don't do it, I'll stop being God. Can you imagine? That's what it means for God to swear. That's a covenant. I just want you to see the solemnity of a covenant. Or the immutability of the oath of kings. He says, if I don't do it, I'll stop being God. That's serious. So in a covenant, when it's a serious matter, when he gave his robe to him, you know what happened? He was the prince going to become the king. The moment he gave the robe, he transferred the kingship to David. Can you imagine? Then he gave him his weapons. I said the robe stands for identity and authority. The sword in the book, his weapon, stands for power and protection. I give you my power and protection. Then the girdle stands for my wealth and belongings. Everything is yours. So if two people are in a covenant, it means that now you have my identity, you have my authority, you have my power, you have my protection, you have my wealth, you have all my belongings. So when two people are in a covenant, I don't say, where is your purse? I say, where is our purse? Yeah, that's why marriage is a covenant. So don't hide your money from your wife. And don't hide your money from your husband. Hallelujah. So you can imagine this covenant. That's why when God entered in covenant with Abraham, when you're in a covenant and you are in a war, we are in a war. Whatever you are facing with, I have to fight as if it's my battle. So even when Abraham went to lie to Abimelech that Sarah was his wife, it was a lie, isn't it so? But God came and defended Abraham and entered into the dream of Abimelech and told Abimelech that you are a dead man. Because the woman you've taken is someone's wife. And God closed all their wombs and made all of them barren. What did he do? Abraham went to lie. But because of the covenant, God had to defend Abraham. The covenant. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Do you want to understand what happened on the cross? Yes. The ultimate covenant. Listen. Oh, Mama Ruba Sunday. Pastor Jima, can you come? Jima. Oh, my. Kemandarabata. You are always... Let me use you as Jesus, because... This is like... you can become... All right. So these two people are entering into a covenant. This is a very poor illustration, but it will give you an idea. Entering into a covenant. This is you, this is Jesus. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Oh, Hallelujah. It's so powerful. In every covenant, you know what they do? They walk through blood. Animals are killed left, right, like God and Abraham in Genesis 15. And they walk and exchange their place. The moment they exchange their place, they're in the covenant. All that you have is mine, all that I have is yours. Your place is my place. Uh-huh. So now, Jesus now took on the cross. You know what happened? This is Jesus, this is you. He was made sin. Now listen, he took your place and died your death. Now this is a serious matter. He died your death and took your place. Every punishment and judgment you deserved, he took it. How long? From the day you were born to the day you see Jesus face to face, all your sins were upon him and he was punished throughout. Every sin, every judgment, every sickness, every disease, every curse, every pain that you deserved. That's a covenant. It was almost like he was wearing a glorious robe. That's Jesus, sorry. He's wearing a glorious robe like Jonathan. The robe of righteousness. He's the prince, the son of God. Almost like in that covenant, you know what happens? He took your garment of sin. You understand? Everything that you wear, he put on him and he was judged for it in your place. And God was satisfied and God said, enough, it's finished. There's no more judgment against you because you bore all, not one left. If one was left, he couldn't have said it is finished. He would have said unfinished, but he said it is finished. It is finished eternally. You cannot be punished again. No. It's not possible. Now, if God punished you, it means God was not satisfied with what Jesus did. That's what it means. He was not satisfied with what Jesus did. That's why it is not possible for you to go to hell. He bore everything. I'm telling you, it was once and for all. So, do you understand the covenant? All that came on him. My. And now, you know the glorious exchange. All his robe, everything he is, everything he has, everything he deserves, his authority and his identity now has come on you. He is the righteousness of God, but now you have become the righteousness of God. Now you are in the place of the Son of God. Because he took your place, you have not taken his place. So now in the covenant, you have his authority and identity. As he is, so are we in this world. Now you have his power and protection. You have all his belongings. You have all his wealth. So now, right, I'm explaining what righteousness is. Now, you know what you have become. All that Jesus is, what he has, his righteousness. How God would have treated Jesus and what Jesus deserves is not given to you. It is your right. It's a covenant. It's based on the oath. Look, if God doesn't do it, he will stop being God. Because the oath is behind it. It's an irrevocable covenant. You understand?
Yes, sir.
But many believers don't know who they are. So a lot of things are happening to them. So the righteousness of God means that I am in the place of Christ. Because he took my place. He received all I deserved. Now I'm in a place to receive all he deserves. Are you understanding me?
Yeah.
Assuming you know this, faith comes alive. Because faith is natural with me. It's no more a struggle. Because I know it's based on a covenant. I know God cannot lie. God's integrity is behind it. God's oath is behind it. God's ultimate commitment is behind it. It's righteousness. Hallelujah. It's an exchange. So now, if you know this, now God is waiting for the sons to come to. You know that, you know one proof of maturity? The Bible says, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth unto those who are of full age. What is strong meat? Righteousness. Strong meat is righteousness. Maturity is righteousness. Yeah. So we are taking you into maturity classes. Righteousness. But God's concept of righteousness, of maturity, is different from our concept of maturity. Yeah. So taking milk means you are not matured. It means you are not experiencing a word of righteousness. But if you start eating meat, you know, strong meat is being experienced in a word of righteousness. And that's what I'm showing you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So I say I'm in the place of Christ. Thank you, sinner. Thank you, Christ. You have exchanged your place. So now you have his righteousness. Now, you see, God, when Jesus took your place, God didn't spare you. Look. He received everything so much that even Jesus had said, my God, why has thou forsaken me? Even the Father had to turn his back on him. Because the Father was treating him as you. And the Father's eye didn't miss any punishment, any condemnation. It all came upon him. He didn't spare. Now you don't have to spare. Because now everything he deserves is now yours. Enjoyment, power, everything he deserves. It's now yours, not based on your works. It is automatic. It's yours. It's based on knowledge. You just have to know it and be conscious of it and live in it. It's now yours. It's your right. So if it cannot happen to Jesus, it must not happen to me because I'm in his place. And the Father is obliged by covenant to do it because his oath is behind it. Otherwise, he will cease to exist as God. Because his oath is immutable. It cannot be changed. Ma. Thank you, man of God. Thank you, man of God. Malobashata. Now think of this. Faith comes alive. That is why the apostles, they said, the like precious faith. Faith of equal value in quality and in quantity in the righteousness of God. So this faith is realized in the consciousness of righteousness. It becomes so simple, so easy. Easy. Hallelujah. Easy. Hallelujah. Now let me show you a verse in 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bear, the word bear means offered, our sins in his own body on the tree. That's on the cross. That we, being dead to sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. This verse is rich because it says, who his own self bear our sins. Now, Jesus took our sin and our sins. There are two. Sin, which is singular, speaks of the sin nature, the old man. But sins speaks of the very things we did, our acts, our action. So his blood washed our sins. By the cross, we're crucified. Our sin nature died with him. I praise God. So, I said sin and sins. The word sin, it stands for the sin nature. No, you cannot wash the sin nature. In the same way you cannot wash clay. Have you tried washing clay? It's useless washing clay because the nature itself is dead. You can't wash clay. The old nature itself is sin, so it had to be crucified. That's sin, singular. But sins. Sins means what we have done. Or what we do. His blood also deals with it. Praise God. But when the Bible speaks of Jesus' blood or being dead to sins, it has to do with the payment of debt being cancelled. It deals with the payment of debt being cancelled. Let me tell you a story. In the days of Napoleon, who was the emperor of France, there was a certain period in France where he was waging a lot of wars. They call it Napoleonic Wars. They were his battles, his wars. And what happened in France in those days was that They use the lottery system to recruit the young men into the army. You know how the lottery is operated? They use numbers. But those days, at that time, they wrote the names of the young men on those balls. So they use the lottery system. So if your name come out, it means you are going to fight the next battle. That's Napoleon. So all the young men in town, in France, their names are there, certain age. So you have no idea whether you are going now. So a certain guy's name came up, and they said he has to go to battle to fight. So he stood before the officers, the officials, and said, "I cannot go. Well, that's risky." So they were shocked. He had the confidence to even tell them he cannot go. Then they asked, "Why are you saying that?" This is what he said. 6 years ago, I went to the battle and I died. At a time, they thought he had mental problems. Or insanity or something. Maybe he had. Then he kept insisting that, "No, I went to the battle and I died. I died." Then they kept asking, "If you died, why are you standing here?" Then he began to explain. This is what he said. "When my name came up, a friend of mine came to me and said, he has no family. He is not married. You know. But he has children, kids, a whole family. And his friend, has nothing to lose. So he wants to go to the battle in his name." So his friend actually went to the battle in his name. And when he went, he died. And he died in his name. Yeah. Now the case went before Napoleon to judge the case. And Napoleon judged the case and said, "France has no legal claims against this man because he died." And there is no charge against him. Hallelujah. Yeah. So he died. And he truly died. That's what Jesus did for you. So today, there is no charge, there is no judgment, there is no condemnation that can be against you. You died to every sin, past, present, and future. You died. It has been paid. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "Who his own self bear our sins in his own body." Let's go on. "That we, being dead to sins," please don't leave First Peter, "that we, being dead to sins, might live unto righteousness." Well, now, what does it mean to live unto righteousness? Now, if you read this casually, you may think that, I should live unto righteousness. I shouldn't lie. I shouldn't gossip. You know, I should live right. All those things are good. But that's not what he's talking about. The righteousness here is a noun, not a verb. If it was a verb, it would be a doing word or an action word. Something that you should be doing. But now it's a noun. You know a noun? What is a noun? It's the name of a person, a place. To live unto righteousness, you know, you have become the righteousness of God. He's talking about living in the righteousness consciousness of where you are, what God has made you. Hallelujah. It's a noun because you have become, you have taken the place of Christ and you have become it. So live according to that consciousness as I demonstrated. Live it. I am the righteousness of God. I'm in the place of Christ. I deserve what Christ deserves. Can you imagine? The righteousness of Christ is in my spirit. I have become it. So he says, when you live in this consciousness, look at the result. By whose stripes you are healed. You know what he's saying? The consciousness of righteousness is what brings you health and healing. And not only that, all your blessings comes through that consciousness of righteousness. Because you have taken the place of Christ, and what he deserves is what you deserve. Hallelujah. So if you live unto righteousness, consciousness, which you have become, live in that realm, that reality, that consciousness, I am the righteousness of God. He says that's where healing comes. That is where healing comes. Malobo shaka taleba sande. Are you here with me? Now, what I'm doing is to give you the knowledge of what you have. Another law of faith is that, understand that faith is always voice activated. Faith is voice activated. Now, faith always goes with corresponding action. But the surest corresponding action of faith is speaking. Sometimes we may need to act it, but most of the time she's speaking. Let me give an example. Someone can be on his bed. The person may be saying, "By his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed." There was a pastor who was ministering to this woman. And the woman had faith. But for a long time she was not healed. So the pastor went to God. Now, Ken Hagin wrote about this. Hagin said, the pastor went to God and inquired of God. He said, "Father, this woman has faith, but she has not been healed. Why does he have faith and she has not been healed?" Then the Holy Ghost told Ken Hagin, told the pastor that if she had faith, if she claims to use faith as she is using, she's saying, should have gotten out of the bed. Why is she still on the bed if she says she has faith? So she's saying, I'm healed, and she was still on the bed. Now, if you say you are healed, act as you are healed. You have to act as so. So this pastor, according to Hagin, went to tell the woman, and instantly the woman said, "Well, I'm truly healed." And she gathered all her strength to stand up. It wasn't easy. And she went to wash the plate, even in the pain. As she started, 1, 2, 3, 4, pa, everything left. Now, some people, if you can lie, I'm healed, and still die. Act it. Hallelujah. Because you see, you know how Jordan divided? Jordan. God said he was going to divide Jordan. When they go to Jordan, look, it was the most dangerous season to cross Jordan, even when you are using a boat. Jordan didn't cross until their feet has touched the waters. That's where the swelling waters. Their feet, they stepped into the waters before the thing separated. The thing didn't separate before the Jewish authorities tell us that, you know how the Red Sea was opened? Hey, the leader of the people, Moses, stretched his rod. The sea didn't divide until Nashon entered into the sea with his horse and they were moving. He was moving in the sea. The sea was not opening until the waters got to the nostrils of the horse here before it opened. It never opened until they had stepped into it. That's faith. It's not like you are standing there, "Open Red Sea, open." It opened before. No. He wants you to. Man. Hallelujah. But you can't say have faith. The first evidence of faith is in speaking. You speak out. Faith is voice activated. If it is not spoken, it is belief. It's in the heart. You speak it, it is faith. Now, let me ask a question. How do you put this light on? Now, if you want to put the light on in your room, do you call the electricity company? Do you call them to, "I want to put my light on"? And they'll be surprised. They will say, but there's a switch in your room. A young man, be serious. But that's what we do. ECG supplies the power. But they have put the operation of that power at your command. By your switch. Heaven supplies whatever you need. But they have put the operation of that power in your hand. Now, why am I saying this? Someone can say, oh Lord, heal me, Lord, heal me, Lord, heal me. It's acceptable, but it's a lower realm. It's acceptable, but it's a little lower. It's like calling ECG. Because the thing is already given to you. You have to switch it. Open your mouth and say, in the name of Jesus. And as you speak the word, you are turning the switch on. But I want to show you, it is voice activated. The simplest way and the fastest way of manifesting faith. Faith is voice activated. Now let me show you something. Romans chapter 10. Let's see from verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that a man which doeth those things shall live by them. That's what I explained. The righteousness which is, there are two systems of life, righteousness of works and righteousness that comes by faith. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh, praise God. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh. Now, the Greek says, but faith righteousness speaketh. Yeah, the Greek says faith righteousness. Now, faith is never separated from righteousness. Faith righteousness. The first place to have faith in is in your righteousness. You have to believe that you are in the place of Christ. No, if you can believe in this one thing that I've demonstrated, all that Christ deserves is yours. Just imagine everything that Christ deserves and is his is now yours by the covenant. Use your faith to believe that. That is all. Everything falls in place. Faith righteousness. Oh my, my, okay. But faith righteousness speaketh on this wise. So the theme here is what? Faith righteousness or righteousness of faith. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. The next verse. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. The next verse. But what saith it? What saith what? What says faith righteousness? What does it say? What is faith righteousness saying? The word is nigh thee. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. He's saying that. Now, faith righteousness is, this is what faith righteousness says. If you want God if you want to see something happen in your life, it doesn't say, okay, Jesus can do this. Should Christ come down from heaven or should he come from the dead? He's saying that you don't need the personal presence of Christ to do it for you. But what do you need? He says the word is nigh thee. You know why? Because the word has taken the place of the absent Christ. What Christ would have done in his personal presence, the word can do. So faith righteousness says the word is nigh thee in your mouth and in your heart. That means even if it's like you don't believe it, just say it first in your mouth and your heart will respond. In your mouth and in your heart. Even the word of faith which we preach. So, if Jesus was here, this sister would have been well. You don't have to say that if Jesus would have been here. Faith righteousness says that, look, you don't have to say Christ must come down. Why? Because the word is nigh thee. Why? Because you are his righteousness and you have taken his place. And all that he deserves is now yours. So you can take his place exactly. And what you need is the word. And when you have the word, you can reproduce what you would have done if he himself was here. Are you following at all? Makora kataye, the word of faith. So this is faith righteousness speaking. What does it say? The next verse. Quickly. Amarobasa. And that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The next verse. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You have to understand that if you believe in your heart that you are the righteousness of God, you believe that I am in the place of Christ. If you believe that, then whatever you say will result in salvation. Now, this salvation is not just saved from hell. It's soteria. It's a word for deliverance. The first meaning is God's deliverance. God's deliverance. God's health. Wholeness. Security. Protection. provision, well-being, all this in soteria. So if you believe in your heart, righteousness, then whatever you say with your mouth will come to pass. Let your heart be established in this righteousness, and your mouth, what you say, will yield in healing, in prosperity, in wholeness. Hallelujah. Why am I saying this? Whenever you are confessing faith, for instance, you wake up in the morning and it's like your skin is some way. Now, you can say, I am healed in Jesus' name. By his stripes, I'm healed. But let me show you a more better way. Do you want to know? Yeah. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. By his stripes, I am healed. Now, always establish your confession on the foundation of the righteousness of God. Do you know what it means? You are affirming the covenant. You are affirming righteousness is covenant justice. You are affirming the covenant. You are affirming the covenant because the covenant has given you the place of Christ. So it is your right and entitlement to receive what you are saying. So I am the righteousness of God. It provokes God to come on your behalf. Because that is who you are, and that's what you are proclaiming. You remember what I said? By whose stripes ye are healed, should live unto righteousness. You have righteousness consciousness, healing comes. All is part of the consciousness, because it's part of the package of righteousness. You are in the place of Christ. So, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. The righteousness of God. If you say it, and say, oh. When you say it with understanding, faith has already come. You are in the realm of faith. You understand? I am healed. And you may still feel the pain, but you know it's done. You know it's done. You know it's done. Now look at something in Romans 5, verse 17. Hallelujah. Bishop has given me the go ahead. Now look at something. For if by one man's offense death reigned. Now, you know what it means for death to reign? The Greek says death reigned as king. The reign of death is the reign of diseases, the reign of sicknesses, the reign of poverty, the reign of curse, the reign of wickedness, the reign of selfishness. That's the reign of death. Death reigned as king. Weakness, sickness, disease, viruses. There's a reign of death reigned. Oh, thank God it's in the past tense. Reigned. Jesus overthrew it. Much more they which receive abundance of grace. Pause. Romans 3, 24. Just pause here. I'll show you something. Romans 3. Being justified freely. You know what it means to be justified? It's the same word as righteousness or righteous. Being declared righteous, what? Freely. Say, I'm declared righteous.
I'm declared righteous.
Okay. Now, in the Greek, the word here is present passive participle. The word justified. You know what it means? Present passive participle. That means God is constantly putting righteousness into your account. God is every time, every minute, every second, every hour, declaring you as righteous. My son, you are righteous. You are righteous. You are righteous. Now, God says you are righteous. Before you failed, you are righteous. Even when you failed, you are righteous. After the failure, you are still righteous. If your failure can destroy your unrighteousness, then what Christ did is very weak. If your failure can destroy God's righteousness, or if your sin can destroy God's righteousness, then righteousness is weak. In the first way, what is sin? Even doubt is sin. Worry is sin. You know that. Covetousness is sin. Maybe you have started desiring my car. It's covetousness. You have already broken the law. Then it means your righteousness is gone. Now it can go and come. I said it last week. But it's not like that. So God is constantly imputing righteousness on you. You know why? Because on the cross, God imputed all your sins on Jesus. Past, present, future. So he's saying, my daughter, you're righteous. My son, you're righteous. Constantly. Say, look to me. Okay, then let's go back to. So this is God doing it. It is present passive participle. Let's go back to Romans 5. All right. For if by one man's offense death reigned as king by one, much more they which receive. Receive here is present active participle. The former one was present passive participle, but this one is present active participle. Now, the former one, passive means you are not the one doing it. It was God who was giving you the righteousness. But here, it is active. You are the one to do it. Whereas, what do you have to do? Active. Those who receive. Present active. Those who are constantly, presently, every time, receiving the gift of righteousness. You know what it means? God is saying, you are righteous. You are righteous. Keep saying, I am righteous. I am righteous. So God is constantly imputing. You must constantly receive. So God is saying, okay, Pastor Mike, be God. Tell me, just tell me I'm righteous. I'm righteous. I'm righteous in Jesus' name. I am righteous. So what God, he has said, so that we may boldly say. So if God is constantly, that's the Greek. God is constantly imputing righteousness on me. I must constantly receive. You know why? Because everything around you is telling you you are not. You wake up in the morning, you feel down. You say something wrong. You say, everything around you, even when you have read the Bible 5 chapters, you feel like, no, you should have read 10 chapters. You feel bad. God is constantly saying, no, look at my son. You have taken his place. So he says, you are. You keep affirming it. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. So now, we are already righteous, but how can we constantly be receiving? That means to constantly receive actually means we should constantly admit to the receipt of righteousness. Constantly admit to the receipt of righteousness. It is the consciousness and the confessions of righteousness. For example, if you some time ago, ECG people came to my house, they wanted to cut off they said we are owing. You know what we did? It was simple. We just want to take the receipt and brought them and said, this is it. We paid everything. I said, okay, we are sorry. You know what I did? I admitted to the receipt of the payment. Now you are feeling pain in your head. Do you know the receipt of your payment? It is called righteousness. It has been paid for. You have been given the place of Christ. So if the feeling comes, or the fear comes, or the trouble comes, say, I am the righteousness of God. You are showing forth your receipt that Christ did it. I don't deserve it. It's not my place. You show the receipt by the confession of righteousness, admitting to the receipt of righteousness. As you confess, then you confess what you want. Everything flows. Do you understand me? It works so. last month, I thought on this, something on righteousness in Togo. When we came, and Apostle Baja said he was doing a crusade. He was opening, he was praying for a dumb person. He said he's done everything he wanted to do. It wasn't working. Then he remembered the message I preached. Then he said, I am the righteousness of God. I command you to speak. Yeah. The guy started speaking. Yeah. It happens. My. Hallelujah. You know? Oh my. You see, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Come on, take me there. Romans 1. 17 and 18. 17 rather. They're just now the Greek says, the Greek grammatical construction is in the reverse. The King James says, the righteous shall live by faith. It's the same word. The just is the same as righteous. The righteous shall live by faith. But that's not the original language. The original says, the righteous by faith shall live. Or the Norwegian version says, the righteous by faith shall have life. You know what it means? If I know I am righteous by faith, not by what I'm doing, but by faith, I receive it by faith. If I know I'm righteous by faith, I will live. So I will have life. Oh, maybe you don't understand what it means to have life. Let me explain. Jesus said, the Bible says, the thief cometh not But to steal, Jesus said that to kill and to destroy. Jesus said in John 10:10 that, but I am come that ye may have life and have it more abundantly. So that means life can be in abundance. Life is not static. It's not static. It can be in abundance. Life flows. If life can be in abundance, it can also be low. It can also be very low. Let me give an example. Have you ever experienced a time in your life when you wake up? Life is not pleasant, was not pleasant to you. You feel like there was no peace. You feel frustrated. It's almost like your body, something is even wrong with your health. Almost like you're angry with everyone. Suspicious of everyone. You are irritated. You slammed the door. Even your dog crying, want to even hit the dog. Your peace is gone. Those times in your life, you know what is happening? The life of God is flowing at a lower ebb. Yeah. Very low. The life is flowing at a very low ebb. Yeah. Gossip easily. All those things. You can gossip and even there's no check in your spirit that you haven't gossiped. You know, but those times in your life where you wake up and you are alive, you feel like loving everybody, embracing everybody. You have total peace. You are full of laughter. You are full of love. You are loving everyone. I mean, you have joy. You feel like preaching the gospel. You are healthy. Those days, the life of God is flowing high. Yeah. That's why in Romans 5:10, look at Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, unbelievers, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Praise God. The Bible says, when we were enemies, we were saved by Jesus' death. But now that we are his friends, we are saved by his life. There are two ways of salvation in twofold. As enemies, we were saved by his death. But now that we are reconciled, we are his friends, we are saved by his life. The word saved there is, he's not talking about hell. We are delivered. We are healthy. We are protected. That's the word sozo here. We are preserved. We are well. We are enjoying good life. All those things. We are wholesome. We are healthy. We are protected. That's the word sozo. By his life. So his life is everything to us. But listen. Do you know how you can live, the life of God can flow more in your life? The Bible says, as it is written, the righteous by faith shall have life. The righteous by faith shall have life. If you live in a consciousness of the righteousness of faith, who you are in Christ, and where you are in Christ, and you are in his place, you are saying, God is to treat me as he would treat Christ, because I'm in his place. I'm in his robe. If you live in this consciousness, he says you will live in life. You know what will happen? Every day you are full of love. Every day you are full of joy. Every day you are full of health. You feel like giving to everyone, blessing everyone, saying good things about everyone. You shall have life. Hallelujah. All right, I just finished my introduction.